If we scout around, we find that Europe's highest Christmas market is located on Mount Pilatus in Switzerland. The Christkindl market sits at 2,132 meters above sea level. It's only open for one weekend each Advent, with 40 stalls overlooking the Alps. Valkenburg in the Netherlands hosts its market inside underground caves, where stalls line candlelit tunnels filled with nativity scenes carved into the stone. Wilsdorf, Germany transforms a river cruiser on the Danube into a glowing market, with thousands of lights reflecting off the water. In Singapore, Christmas markets take place in the humid heat, blending European traditions with Southeast Asian street food. Medieval pirate market, there's one. Some German towns host themed markets where vendors dress as pirates or medieval merchants selling crafts and hearty food in the candlelit courts. Elizabeth Ginnis, writing for Smithsonian Magazine, tells us, the Christmas market's roots stretch back to Vienna in 2096, when Duke Albrecht I authorized 14-day fairs in the month of December. Despite the timing of these festivities, the fairs weren't directly connected to Christmas and did not appear to be religious in nature. Another early example of an Advent month, but not necessarily Christmas-themed market, is found in Bautzen, Germany. In 1384, Wenceslaus IV, King of Bohemia, gave the city the right to hold a free market, allowing butchers to sell meat until Christmas. Whether this constitutes an actual Christkindl market is disputed, and it has been argued that the beginnings of Christmas markets are probably later than is often indicated in media and popular science. Scholars are often reluctant to definitively identify the first official Christmas market. Cities themselves are far less reticent, with Dresden proudly proclaiming its title as the oldest Christmas market in Germany. Christmas markets may have mainly German origins, but they eventually spread to German-speaking parts of Italy, Switzerland, and France. And during the medieval era, giving gifts was more closely associated with December 6th, St. Nicholas Day, and that was more likely to be a time of exchanging than Christmas. As the patron saint of children, Nicholas was believed to reward good behavior with gifts. Christmas, on the other hand, marked the end of Advent, a period of fasting and religious reflection, and the beginning of 12 days of celebration. Once Christmas Day came around, if you had the stamina, then you were expected to eat, drink, and be merry, dress up, play games, and go dancing around the neighborhood for 12 days solid before you collapsed in a heap. And Lawrence Mathers, a historian at the University of Reading in England, writes, as gift-giving became synonymous with Christmas, it was time to move on to the Christmas markets. Much like today, there were places to buy meat, baked goods, and commodities. They often stood near churches, acting as a convening ground for citizens of all classes, from workers to churchgoers to foreign travelers to nobility. In recent decades, Christmas markets have proliferated worldwide, attracting visitors in Europe, North America, Asia, and Oceania. While each market is unique, an underlying fascination with the past unites many. For instance, San Francisco's Great Dickens Christmas Fair transports guests back to Victorian London, or the Dresden Streitzel Market. Now in its 588th year, this very human desire to romanticize the markets of yesteryear isn't a new phenomenon. In the 1830s, German romantic writer Ludwig Tieck published a novella set during the Berlin Christmas Market of 1791. Expressing nostalgia for the so-called golden age of markets past. Most splendid were the evening hours, when this wide street was illuminated by many thousands of lights from the booths, Tieck wrote, and thousands strolled along, jovial, with plans to buy, telling stories, laughing, crying out loud across the sweet aromas of the various sugar and marzipan pastries. Those fruits, in alluring imitation, figures of all kinds, animals and people, all shining with bright colors, which smiled out at eager onlookers. While that idealized version of Christmas markets may not have existed exactly as Teak wrote it, the feelings of joy, the crowds of people, and the scent of sugar in the air that he described continued to ring true 200 years later. Elizabeth Janse, writing for Smithsonian Magazine. Remember the highest Christmas market in Switzerland? Well, Scranton, Pennsylvania is about 750 feet above sea level, no way approaching Mount Pilatus. But like Mount Pilatus, there is a holiday market in Scranton, and it's open for only one weekend. The Scranton Winter Market is a project of the Arts and Culture Department of Lackawanna County, and it will take place Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on Courthouse Square in downtown Scranton. There'll be at least 50 vendors, live music, children's activities, and more. Maureen McGuigan is Director of Arts and Culture for Lackawanna County, and she paid a visit to the WVIA studios to invite us to experience the delights of the event and to tell us about how it came about.
My first inspiration for Winter Market was when I was a young 20-something hanging out in San Diego, and they had a Winter Market near the museum, which sounds funny because it's sunny and pretty much warm all the time. But I just loved it because it was so magical, people selling things and the crowd. So for a long time, it was on my bucket list to get to a European one, and I finally did in 2017, but it had taken a while. But I love the holidays, so I would read up on history and tradition. So it was just always a dream of mine to take what I saw in San Diego and then what I had learned about European markets and just bring it to Scranton. Because, you know, and also just seeing like Bryant Park and New York. So I just think that's really magical and different than just shopping in stores. Not that there's anything wrong with that, especially local shops. But, you know, it's different than just going to a mall and you're shopping local and you have the little tents or houses and, you know, music, and it's cold, but it's a fun kind of cold because you can dress warm and, you know, you're out there with other people and it's just really pretty with lights. So, yeah, that's kind of how the winter market evolved.
And you have also made sure that whatever events you're planning, Maureen, that if you can, you integrate children into the mix.
Oh, absolutely. I think all of our focus at the county arts office is something for everyone. And certainly children, especially because when you're exposed to arts and that when you're young, you're more apt to have that in your memory when you're older and just carry that throughout your life is something that's valuable to have in your life. So yeah, one of the favorite activities, and this is actually for adults too, is as a kid, I used to make those pomanders, the clove oranges. And so our first year, we're like, let's just see how people like this. And it was a hit. It's so relaxing. So, you know, you do see kids and adults. But yeah, we're going to have a great children's tent this year. It's expanded. My colleague is working on a lot of fun children's arts activities. But again, adults are welcome to participate too. So we're excited about that. We're excited that we've expanded that.
And you're always bringing in not just visual arts and not just crafts and those things that are made by hand that are artistic, but also music, and you are very much trying to support the regional music scene.
Yes, I mean, art is community and economic development. So, you know, we do support all of our artists, including musicians, and we also have theater because that's important. So we like to give a variety. That will be in the Holiday Lodge tent, which we will have a bar doing some seasonal cocktails and beer and wine by Bartari, and also, of course, non-alcoholic beverages. But we really wanted to make that space cozy place to sit and listen to all the wonderful music. We have such talented people. So it's going to be definitely a nice variety of music and theater. So we hope everybody will come and stop by that.
What kind of theater might we expect?
Well, the Fringe Festival is always involved. So I think they're doing something that even has some sensory elements to it. And then on Friday, I think the Nutcrackers are going to show up from Ballet Theater. So I think there'll be little pieces. And we'd like to showcase all of the local groups.
Now, the vendors, the people who are in the tents and showing their wonderful wares, come mostly from our region? Does anyone come in from elsewhere?
Right now, but it is regional. It would be. It's not just Lackawanna County. We really think regionally, and we want vendors from all over. So Yeah, within a few counties of northeastern PA. And we're happy to grow. You know, every year this has grown and we got a lot more applications even this year. So, you know, it's great to see that expanding and some new vendors. But yeah, again, as you were saying, you know, buying local is just so nice. And you meet the person who made it and you have that memory and that relationship then. So it becomes even more special.
And so tell us about the logistics, where it is and how it winds around or takes its place in downtown Scranton.
Well, I always call the Lackawanna County Courthouse the jewel of Scranton. I just love it there. It is like a mini park and it's so pretty at the holidays. So it takes place there, which is 200 Washington Avenue, if you need an address in Scranton. So that's where the majority of the vendors will be, and also the holiday lounge and the children's activities, and then part of Linden Street. So it kind of makes an L shape. But if you come down, you'll also on Biden Street, it's worth checking out our Festival of Trees we have every year. So they're just beautiful. Great place for selfies. So this theme of that is America 250, Red, White, and You. Just as we're getting prepared for America's birthday next year. So the whole square is lit up and the vendors, yeah. And there's a wonderful local shop. So we also encourage people to support our brick and mortars that are there. You can really make a whole day or evening out of it shopping on the square, but also walking around the town, which looks beautiful with the windows and other decorations.
And one of the important things about what you all do, and maybe you could at this point tell us how distinctive Lackawanna County is in having an office like yours so that you can support and produce events like this and things like the breakfast.
We are very lucky. It's highly unusual to have tax money collected that's dedicated for arts and culture. We are the only county out of 67 that has that, and I applaud our leaders over the years who have kept that and believe in the arts. Because it is tied to community and economic development. I think we've seen a lot of that impact over the years. So I do tell people not to take that for granted, that it really does a lot for the community. And I love that we're able to help other groups doing wonderful things. And we've been able to put a lot of public art in, and we're able to have this event as well as the July 3rd. So I think it is really special. And so I'm always proud to promote that and advocate for it.
And you are also someone who is a proponent of sharing ideas and cross-fertilization and coming together to exchange ideas that can then spark other ideas and have the creative process just blossom. And that's the breakfast idea.
Yes, I love this event. I think we're on our 17th annual Wake Up with the Arts Breakfast. And I was inspired when I was a kid on AMC, that channel, there used to be Breakfast with the Arts. And I actually loved it as a kid. They'd have ballet and opera. I don't know. So I think I carried that idea that you could have access to arts education. And I love that idea of like waking up with the arts. So years later, we had a committee that formed, and it was a way, you know, it's so important to bring people in the arts or just people who are art supporters together to learn and share, as you noted about sharing creative ideas, and then have speakers come in. Over the years, we've had a lot of local speakers, but we also bring in people from outside the area so that people don't necessarily have to travel to see them. They can be right here. And, you know, our committee always comes up with a topic that usually a very positive, joyful topic in the arts. Even if it's hard times, we always try to find a way to look more at the creativity and community. So this year we selected Nick Petula, who's a local author. He's a historian. His latest book that came out in May is A History of Scranton Mugshots and Criminal Activity, 1898 to 1920. And, you know, our committee, when we met, just thought a home is such an inspiration. And there's no place like Northeastern PA. I mean, every place has what makes it special. So why not celebrate ours? And I think, especially in recent years, people are really looking at that and celebrating where we come versus maybe when this area wasn't doing so well, people tended to put it down. But we all like what Nick has done. He's written books on baseball and beer. And he was telling me, you know, some of these pictures he was inspired by. It sounds like kind of an odd subject for a book, but he was talking about women criminals who had plumed feathers in their hair. So again, it's not something you might think could inspire a creative book. But I think, you know, the idea of home for the holidays and what is home and, you know, again, going into the history of the America's birthday next year, 250, the sense of history and place and that we're all part of the United States and every area brings something to that story. So I think it's just going to be a nice morning and part of the holiday season. And again, we're talking about home and where we live. So I'm excited.
17 years. It must have borne fruit or you wouldn't have kept it up all this time.
There have been a lot of partnerships that have emerged out of the breakfast because, again, you come, you share food, you watch a speaker who might spark something, you start talking to somebody you didn't know before, and then the next minute you might have a project that you're doing together. So it's going to be next Thursday, December 11th. 8:30 is the networking breakfast, and the presentation starts at 9. It's at the beautiful Scranton Cultural Center at 420 North Washington. It's free. You know, everything we do is county sponsored because it is supported by the public is free to people. You can register by emailing arts-culture@lackawannacounty.org or calling me at 570-496-1724. Or honestly, you can just show up. We always make room for people.
Maureen McGuigan, Director of Arts and Culture for Lackawanna County, speaking about the annual Winter Market on Courthouse Square in downtown Scranton this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There will be many musical performances, including this ensemble. Presby Bop Jazz Quartet will be on hand Saturday afternoon, December 6th at 2 o'clock.
Joy to the world, the
there will be much more. People who listen to George Graham and Mixed Bag will know many of the performers, the Dishonest Fiddlers, for example, Doug Smith's Dixieland All-Stars, a wide array. And you can find all this information online on the Lackawanna County website under Arts and Culture. And that's the Winter Market, and it's on Courthouse Square in downtown Scranton this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. On Friday evening, the music begins at 5. On Saturday, it begins at 11 in the morning, and Sunday also at 11. The details are there online. And don't forget the 17th annual Wake Up with the Arts Breakfast, and that's Thursday, December 11th, getting underway at 8:30 with the breakfast, and then the program begins at 9. All of this is free, and the breakfast is held at the Scranton Cultural Center.
Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns, let men their songs embrace.